song to start off with there. Can I call on Mr. Patrick in the back right there? Will you lead us in a word of prayer, please, if you don't mind?
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today, just thank you for letting us all join in your house. And good Lord, just thank you for today, how beautiful the sunshine is.
Yes.
Lord, I just ask you to be with Brother Steve as he brings the message, and just open our hearts and hear every word he has to give us. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Y'all can be seated. Look at page, I love this song right here. I'm going to sing it quite often. I believe in Hill Called Mount Calvary. Look at page 318. And then we'll sing 319. It's right after that.
But the face I've
go.
With one of my children, he was away from God. And I know the enemy wanted me to just, you know, say, man, this is overwhelming to me. But I tell you something, you know, you can love your kids right into hell.
God bless you.
And you have got to stand your ground, and you have got to speak the truth to them. And I tell you, last night, I have to be honest with you, it's probably one of the hardest conversations I've ever had with anybody since I've been a Christian. You know, to tell somebody you love, if you don't believe in Jesus, and if you don't surrender at all, you face hell.
That's right.
There is a hell, and it's real. And I just tell you, I believe the church is, we're coming to a place where the Lord is challenging us as Christians. You're going to have to stand up. You're not going to have to work at people's feelings. The gospel is offensive, especially if you're living in sin.
God bless you.
You do not want to hear it. You don't want to hear that when you're out here doing your own thing, living in sin. I know, I've been there. And the last thing I want to hear was the gospel, or be told that what I was doing was going to send me to hell. But I tell you, church, if we don't stand in that gap for the lost, we're not doing what the Lord told us to do. That's to be salt and light. And it's going to hurt some people. Their
sure.
feelings. Their feelings. They're going to get mad. They're going to say things. And
bless your heart.
You know,
sister.
But I tell you, it is time. It is time that we as the body of Christ stand up and say enough is enough. I'm not going to be scared of getting my feelings hurt. I'm not going to be scared of the world making fun of me. I'm not going to be scared of this or that. It says, you know, we're perfectly cast out of fear. We've got to have the boldness of the Holy Spirit. And we have got to do what we were sitting here to do, and that is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I was a hard-hearted person. Thank God. A Messianic Jew led me to the Lord. Somebody who was Jewish that gave their heart to the Messiah and lost everything. It was parents were millionaires in New York and they had a funeral for him. But he gave it all. He said, what profit did a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And I just tell you, I just feel like Satan will not have my son. Because there is a verse that says that me and my whole household will be saved. And I'm serving him notice right now. My God is able to do exceedingly above anything that I ask of him. And this morning, I want to share with you what the Lord gave me this morning. when I was laying and I saw like the Titanic going down and there were people on pieces of wood floating in the ocean. And I saw my son on a raft and he was hollering at me and he said, "Mama, don't leave me." And it was my son that's away from the Lord, "Mama, don't leave me." And I was headed toward a rescue boat on this piece of wood. And I looked back and I could hear him calling my name, "Mama, Mama, please don't leave me." So I slid off that piece of wood and I swam toward my son. And I remember just feeling like the water was like ice cold and I was giving, I'm a fairly good swimmer. That's one thing I love to do, swimming it, getting it all. I got to my son and I said, "Come on, we can do this together." And we started, you know, just going toward this rescue boat. And I felt like I was slipping and this thing was about to turn over and we were about to lose. And I looked up and I saw Jesus walking on the water coming toward us. And he took my son and he took me and we got to the place of safety. And the Lord spoke this to me and said, "Maggie, you can't save your son, but I can."
Amen.
I can.
God bless you, sister.
And I'm sitting here serving notice to the enemy this morning. You will not have my son. Because my Savior said, "I can pray, believe, and stand in that gap. And by George, I am not moving, and the gates of hell will not prevail. I will live." The Lord promised me that I would live to see my son saved and serving the Lord. And I just want to serve notice this morning. When I sing this song, I think of the Lamb of God. And y'all can sing along if you want to. It's 302. But I'm going to tell you something. The blood of Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. And he's not going to have anybody in my household as long as there's breath in my body, because I will stand and I will pray and I will believe what the Word of God says, that me and my whole household will be saved. And I know some of you got lost loved ones. And I just tell you, I believe this. The Lord told me to give this, say this morning. And as a woman, sometimes I'm a little bit timid to speak out in church, but the Holy Spirit was so on me this morning. That there's people that right here, you've got lost children, you've got lost loved ones, and you felt hopeless and helpless. And the Lord's message to you today is to believe and stand in that gap.
Yes.
And ask me and see what I will do. Nothing is impossible with God.
Thank you, Lord.
And he's just saying that to the church, you know, you get fired up for me again, get stoked up, get the Holy Spirit back in your life. Pray with that season, pray with passion for the Lord. Let your salvation that was so precious to you, let it be like a fire stirring up within your bones. Let it come forward. Don't be afraid to speak to your family members. It may be the last conversation you ever have with them. I've had a situation with a young man when I got saved, you know, my last conversation with him was about Jesus. He got killed 2 days later after that conversation. That was the hardest funeral. I kept saying, "Lord, you know, did he come back? Did he come back?" The Lord said, "You know, I got him, Maggie. I got him." The last few minutes before he died. Don't lose an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Don't assume that there's tomorrow, the next week, the next month. You may not have it.
That's right.
But I just feel the power of just the Holy Spirit on me this morning to just say, "Come on, church. Come on. Come on. We got to get busy. We got to get busy about the Father's business." And that is reaching the lost with the gospel.
Sure.
I love y'all. Thank y'all for letting me share my heart this morning.
Thank you.
Jesus is so esteemed.
No sin to hide, but you have set him from your side to walk upon
she has. Mine are so important. Very concerned about her lost son. And we know we need to be concerned about that too, sure. So Maggie, if you don't mind, you come to the altar, can we have prayer with you?
Come on, some guys
are
around the altar.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come down.
Heavenly Father, I bow today. Thank you, God, for your love, mercy, and grace. God, you guide, God. Heavenly Father, from the depths of our heart, God. Heavenly Father, that you
pray, Lord, that you work in his life. Heavenly Father, help him to see where he's at, God, by nature, and where he can be by your grace. Heavenly Father, God, our God, thank you
for all the cause that we were all right without God. You showed us, dear God, where we were. What we were by nature, what we must need.
Help us to have a burden,
by your grace, God.
Help us, Lord, if we need to be in the hell, Lord.
Heavenly Father, ask you to give us her humble prayer, God. Would you just, my dear God, save us.
Lost and undone without you, Lord. Realize, Lord, this is not a fairy tale. It's not a threat, Lord, but we realize God's promise.
God, would you just help us, Lord, to turn our hearts to you, God, and trust in you, God. Heavenly Father, we believe in you. We believe in your power, God, to save, Lord. We thank you, God, for your love, Lord. We know, Lord, that if you saved us, dear God, Heavenly Father, that you can save those that we love, dear God. Dear God, we pray today, Lord, if we're not, Heavenly Father, asking, Heavenly Father, from the abundance of faith that you've given us, God. Heavenly Father, if we're not asking from the depths of our heart, God, please change our heart, God, so that we'll know how to reach your throne today, God, and we beg you, God. Heavenly Father, save those that we love and care about. Heavenly Father, would you grant Sister Maggie's prayer? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Where I first saw the light, and my burden and my heart rolled away. about the sight, we lose sight of where we're supposed to be sometimes.
That's right.
And when we do that, we have to go back and ask God for forgiveness. I was thinking early this morning, I'm sorry is two of the most used words, I guess. At least it is to me, because I always do stuff that seems so stupid. And I think about horrible. It, and then all of a sudden God says, no, no, but I am sorry that I don't do what God always wants me to do.
God bless her.
God bless
you. I don't want to be that person that at the last minute says, I'm sorry I didn't do that. I'm sorry I didn't witness to that person. I've lived all my married life. And it's hard for somebody to witness to somebody you love. Because you don't want to make them mad.
Yeah.
And you don't want to upset them. But you know what? It's going to be a whole lot more upset when they die without Jesus.
That's right, sister.
Jesus is what they need.
Yes.
I'm asking the church to pray for one.
Yes.
I've never done that before because I always felt like it was a private.
Oh, it was. God bless
you. But you know what? Hell is not going to be private.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, church.
And I appreciate when you pray that you remember Wayne. He's not a bad person.
No.
But you know what? Just being good is not going to give you the answer. Until I have to have Jesus. Just like I do and everybody else does. If we don't have Jesus, then we're doing the work. And the Bible plainly says it. And if you believe the Bible, then that's what it says.
That's exactly right.
So, I was thinking about the sight, because I'm losing mine. But God always has sight. If he doesn't see, then we're doomed to stop him.
Yeah.
He is our only hope. If you would remember to pray for Wayne, and pray for me that I would have the courage, I guess that my grandmother used to say to gumption, to do what I'm supposed to do.
Yes, that's
right. Amen. You know, I believe in the power of prayer because I'm an example of that. If it wasn't for a group of ladies praying for me, I wouldn't be here today. You know, prayer can change lives. And how we live our lives can change other people's lives. And thank you, Sister Sayer, for sharing. You know, we can pray for Wayne and pray for Sayer. But, you know, how we live our lives is a big example. And I've been around Wayne a long time, and he is a great man. He's a good man, a good husband. But, you know, he does. He needs the Lord, just like many other people that we know in our lives, and a lot of family members in our lives that need the Lord. But, you know, we got to start somewhere, and we got to pray for him.
Yeah.
Definitely got to do that. Yeah. I just thank the Lord how he's blessed me in so many ways.
Sure.
How he's put me here, me and Vanessa and our family here. What a wonderful blessing it's been. It's been more.
Yes.
And I give the glory and praise to God for that.
Amen.
Going to pray for that. Does anybody have anything before?
I just want to say just a couple words. Lord's been moving on me so much this last week. You know, through the Bible here, you know, the word, the message has just been. Been go.
Yeah.
Take the revival from the inside the church to outside the church. And I was very blessed to go hear Brother Bobby speak at Holly Spring Missionary Baptist Church. And I want to give you a couple of things that really moved me and struck me. And I think it kind of goes into what Sister Maggie was saying. I'm not sure how many were in the church on Thursday night when I was there, but and I'm not sure how many preachers were there, but there might have been more preachers than there were actually.
There were a lot of preachers.
Members of the church. But I'm going to tell you what moved me the most. Before the service even began, it was wonderful for Brother Bobby's message was. I went back in the back and all these old men of God sat around and prayed for the revival, for the community. I sat there, I was looking around, and I was thinking, and the only word that comes to my mind, and I say this very succinctly, grizzled old men. You know, and I looked at myself and I thought, you know what, they're a little bit old just like me. And some of them not too pretty just like me. But I can see, you know what, I can see with my spiritual eyes. I can see the battle scar.
Sure.
I can see the spiritually scuffed knees. I can see the scars in their armor that they had endured before when they stood in the gap, just like standing in the gap. And with my spiritual eyes, I can see these old men of God who stood in the gap for their community, for their people, for the late nights and the early morning that they got up and they prayed. And they got up in the middle of the night. And I'm so thankful that it inspired me. I thought, that's who I want to be. And as I looked around, as I stepped out into the church with some of the older ladies there, and the gentleman, I saw what I call just the residual glory shine. And I say that because anybody who's been to church from a child on, you know the ones I'm talking about. They're the ones in the church, the pastor, the deacons, those saints in the church, they have a little bit of glory shine to them. It's not normal. Their countenance is different. It's not that they wash their face. It's a glow that comes within. And that only comes from two things. That comes from one, for letting the Holy Spirit indwell you, for making your body a fit temple for His Spirit, and not like Him, not do anything but shine out of your skin. And number two, it comes from doing the thing that's so important. It's about getting down at night on your knees and coming to the throne room of God. You're getting into the Holy of Holies and petitioning Him.
Sure.
For those in need and those hurting. That glory that you see from God there, it can't help but come back on you. And I'm sure when I see the people in the churches like that, I know it must be like what Moses must have looked like when he came to the face of God.
God bless you.
It's the residual glory, son. I want a whole lot more of that.
Me too.
I want a whole lot more of that.
Me too.
And I'm so grateful for the saints in this church, the minister, the preacher. And also I want to say just as a side note, I truly got an appreciation for our wonderful worship and music that we have here.
Yes.
I haven't thanked God enough for that.
Yes.
I want to thank you for what you do, how you follow your spirit, and how you let God lead the music, and that does nothing but bless us all. And I'm so grateful for everyone that sings and everyone that plays.
God bless
you. I just want to share that just on my heart.
God bless you. Church.
That's right. That's right. Please are in the glory.
That's right.
What a blessing it's
been. She's beautiful.
She is.
What a blessing it's been.
Anyone else have a word you'd like to share?
Brother Ryan, my heart's a pounding. I agree with Mark. I thank you, Lord, so much for all you saints and the ones that I honestly looked up to and I want to be like and want to be more Christ-like because of y'all.
That's right.
And Maggie, you are definitely one of those women.
God bless you, Lord. Amen.
Every time I see you, you can feel it. Because you step in the room. And I thank you for obeying that call.
Amen.
And sharing that message. I had a dream last night, too. And when she said her dream, I was like, what? But I had a dream that my family was on a creek. saved the past. But they have pushed God so far away to the point where I've had hours of conversation with my brother. It was just the hardest conversations I've ever had to have with him. Because he will argue with you and bitch you in the face with what he thinks. But y'all, I feel a sense of urgency. Time is coming. And how they preached all through the revival, like every single message has been, it's not just the preacher's job. It's our job. So get out there. Be strong to stand in that gap for our loved ones, for our friends, the ones that God put on our heart. It may just be a stranger, a neighbor. But it's so important, y'all, because I'm telling you, the time is coming. And we're running out of time. And we can't just say, oh, well, they'll get to them. Maybe somebody else will get to them. It's our job. If God put them on our hearts, it's our job. We've got to do that. Even when the conversation is hard. And not be embarrassed. Don't get our feelings hurt. Because that's what Casey, my brother, would do. He would hurt my mama's feelings. He would hurt my feelings. But we would try to talk to him. But we still got to talk. And we still got to love him.
Sure.
Because Jesus would. Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Bless you.
Mom, sir.
Amen. Amen.
Anyone else have something on their heart?
Brother Wayne, I got mine the Lord just for a minute.
Lord.
And I won't keep you long. I'm hungry, and I know and y'all are, but boy, I tell you, I have fed spiritually this morning on what I've been able to feel down in my heart. And everything that's been done and said goes right along with the thought that the Lord has placed on our heart. And I want you to pray for us for just a few minutes. So good to see each one of you here. It's good to see Glenn and Chris's grand boys here with us today.
Yeah,
love them. Good to see Keith, James, and Sharon here. And everybody that's here today, good to see you. And I love you. I'm so thankful these testimonies have been by the leadership of the Lord. I know it's just almost like the Lord just speaking right through these folks. And I want to preach to us just for a few minutes on time is of the essence. And I want you to think about that just for a few minutes. We live in a day and time where, especially when we're younger, we think we've got all the time in the world. But as we begin to get older, and people that are older than me tell me, time is just swiftly passing by. And so what we do with this time, we give an account for. We do. And so I want us to realize today that never take time for granted, but I appreciate Sister Maggie and the concern, the burden she has for her son. The Lord is showing Sister Maggie hell is real as it is. And sometimes I believe we need to be reminded every so often of hell as real as it is. A lot of times we want to think that maybe it's not as bad as the Bible describes. Maybe it's not as bad as the old country preachers used to preach it, but folks, I've got news for you today. It's worse than we can imagine. It's more dreadful than we can ever preach it today. So our time is of the essence today as we begin to look and realize that we've got folks in our midst. We've got kin folks. We've got friends and neighbors that if they don't find Jesus Christ in the free high pardon of sin, just simply put, like the old time preachers would put it, they'll die and go to hell today. So I realize that's not very appetizing to think about but it's the truth. But what is appetizing, I have to think about, is there's a way out today, and there's a way to be saved today. And I'm so glad of that. If you'll turn in your Bibles out to the 9th chapter of St. John, I'd like to read just a few verses in your hearing, and then I just testify for just a minute about time being of the essence today. 9th chapter of John, and I'm going to begin reading in the first with the first verse. And it said, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And the Bible said, his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. How the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And I believe I'll stop reading right there. How this is a point in the Bible where Christ gets the point over to us of the essence of time. Now we realize that with God, his timetable and our timetable is totally different. I believe that when we're talking about eternity, we're talking about time shall be no more. But today, while you and I live and breathe on this earth, time does make a difference. Everything we do, one of the first things I'm going to do when I cross the River Jordan, I'm going to take this watch and throw it as far as I can throw it. Because everything that I do in life is based on time. And I'm going to tell you today, you and I need to be more aware how that time is of the essence, how when it comes to the work of God today. Amen. If Jesus hadn't intended for us to believe this, he wouldn't have said it.
That's right.
Amen. He wouldn't have said it. I heard one time a preacher take this message and preach, "Make hay while the sun shines." We've heard that saying all our life. A lot of folks say, I've got time, but time is running out. Amen. Jesus said he was the light of the world. But he said, "After I go back to my Father, ye are the light of..." Who's he talking about, preacher? He's talking about the church today. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Time is of the essence. Amen. Do y'all like to be rushed? Boy, I don't. I really don't. Brother Greg, I try to, if I've got somewhere to be, I try to get up in plenty of time that I got time to drink some coffee and I don't have to be rushed to go where I'm going. It don't do any health good either. And so I like it when somebody calls me and they say, "Hey, brother, I was going to see if I could get you to help me with a little something." But they'll say, "It's no hurry. It's no hurry. It's not something that's got to be done right..." I like that word. "It's not something that's got to be done right now." Boy, I'm thrilled. Boy, I go... Because you know that if it's something that's going to have to be done right now, then what you was going to do right now has to be changed. And I don't like confusion. But whether I like it or not, Brother Roger, when it comes to the work of God, time's of the essence.
That's right.
It is. Amen. Preacher, no point in being in no hurry. We might not have to be in a hurry to do a lot of things, but we better get a gear on this.
Amen.
We better get a gear on this. Amen. Not just because that our life is compared to a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away, but the lives of others, whose life is like a little vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. There's folks that have gone on and left this walks of life that I have regrets, that I didn't follow the leadership of God, realizing that time was of the essence, and go and talk to them. The preacher preached till the night revival, that blood's on whose hands? Come on. Come on. They asked Jesus, they said, Jesus, did this man sin or did his parents sin the reason he was born blind? Boy, we Baptists are bad. When somebody has a child born, maybe that's not just right in our eyes, reckon what they did. They had a child like that. Not only that's ugly, but a lot of people think it. Or if people, or if a family just has some what we call bad luck come on, and several things begin to happen in that family, and first thing that we'll go to thinking is, reckon what they did to bring
shame on us.
That kind of thing down upon you. Better watch out for that same thing can hit your family real quick. So these people ask Jesus, I can just see them, who sinned, this young man or his parents? Now, when Jesus said neither did this young man or his parents sin, he wasn't saying they're without sin. Everybody's got sin in their life. He was saying that it wasn't a sin that brought this upon him.
That's right.
From them.
Yeah.
That comes from the fall of man.
Yeah. Sure does.
But this happened so that the works of God could be made manifest.
That's right.
Could be made manifest. I can just see Jesus. I'm going to heal this young man. And I'm going to cure him of his blindness. And everybody that knew him as the blind man is going to see him soon. And I can just hear Jesus saying to himself, oh, there'll be some that's going to say, well, he looked like the blind man. He resembled the blind man. But certainly couldn't be this blind man, because he was blind. And our doctors had done everything in their power to try to restore his sight. But you see, when you come to Jesus today, the miracle worker, where nothing, no hands are tied, amen, but he can do anything that he desires to do today. Amen. Amen. But let's get back to time being of the essence. Let's get back to why do we need to be in such a hurried preacher about this? I told you a while ago, I don't like to be hurried.
That's it.
I like it. Well, Brother Michael, the other day I looked in the mirror.
Come on.
We older people do this every now and then. Look in the mirror. Oh man, 61 years old. I thought people 40 was old. I said, I'm a year away from my dream of drawing Social Security. 1 year away. Mark, you talked about the scars on them old timers. I'm just like you, brother, over there the other night. I looked at old Brother Fate Talbert.
Yeah. God bless you, Lord.
Oh, boy, the man has fought in this spiritual warfare that we're all in today. He's tired. He's old. But somehow or another, he managed to get up and come to that revival. Because he realizes that time is of the essence.
Yeah.
I told Brother Michael McGee the other day, him and Brother Jeff Bullard out there outside the church after the one night of our revival. I said, y'all both got boats, hadn't you? Yeah. I said, there's one thing that I'd like to do before I die, kind of on my bucket list. I said, and I used to do it a lot when I was a teenager and in my early 20s. I said, I'd like to water ski one more time. Just one more time. And I said, if y'all got a rope and a pair of skis and a prop that'll pull me, I said, this summer I'd like one time just to get out there and just see if I can come up out of the water. Now, Brother Chris, it doesn't make any difference whether I don't get to do that or not, but I certainly would like to try it one more time just to see, just to see. And Belinda said, she said, no, no. But see, I realize that time's running out for me.
Yeah.
It is. And y'all don't get me wrong, whether or not I get to do that, that's no big deal. But it is a big deal for us to reach a lost and dying world.
Amen.
Today. Yeah. That is a big deal.
Right.
That has to do everything with life and with death today. I'm not going to be much longer, and I want Brother Wayne to get us a song ready, but I do want to read you a few little pieces of scripture that came to my mind as we were meditating on this. Over in Ephesians, Paul talks about redeeming the time because the days are evil. In other words, I believe he's talking about making use of every minute of the day, redeeming the time. Jesus said over in Matthew, after hearing John, he said he was the light of the world. He tells us over in Matthew, he said, ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Boy, what a responsibility, Brother Michael, that he's given the church. What a responsibility. And God, forgive me when I take that lightly. Yes. Forgive me, God, when I take that lightly. Sister Maggie, you're concerned about your son, as you well should be. But are we as concerned about our loved ones as she is hers?
Think about it.
Think about it. Well, preacher, my kids are pretty good kids. Never had to give me no trouble. Never had to go bail them out of jail. Well, I say, have you heard them testify that they've been born again? Time is of the essence. My boy says he's been saved, and he shows signs of it. But I'm worried about him because I firmly believe, and I know some of these preachers believe that after we're saved and we sin, that on Judgment Day, that we're going to stand before God, and then he's going to bring up all those sins we did after we were saved, and he's going to chastise us for that, and then he's going to say, okay, go on into heaven. I don't believe that. It's hard like
steel. No. Come on, preacher.
See, I understand and believe the Word of God to be that if I'm one of his and I choose to sin, Brother Ricky, there's some consequences that I'm going to face here.
Right. That's right.
And that's what worries me about my boy.
That's
what worries me about it.
God bless you, Dusty.
See, I'm realizing now that time is of the essence. I'm realizing that what I used to think we had plenty of time for, that we don't have anymore. Not one place in the Word of God did God teach us that we have plenty of time. Plenty of time. We don't. It was brought out not too long ago. I think Sister Pam may have brought it out in one of our Sunday school lessons, but each one of us is here for a period of time. And what takes place in that amount of time, that's our life. That's it. Regardless of what somebody else does later on or what they did before.
So I asked God, help me to realize, Lord, that I've only got a certain amount of time. I'll never forget an old man that his son went to church there at Roswell Creek, and he lived to be way up in his 90s. And I may have told you all this before, but he had to go to doctor appointments pretty regularly. That happens when you get older. And he was sitting in the waiting room, and they had a lot of patients, and they just couldn't. He was there for his appointment time, but they didn't have time right then to see it. And one of the nice nurses, after he had been there a while, stuck her head out the door. She said, "Mr. Griffin, it won't be much longer, just a few minutes." And he looked at her and said, "How many minutes do you think I have at my age?" I said that to say this. He realized that his time was short. He had things he wanted to put home and he wanted to get out of there. But I want you to understand that Jesus is letting us know. Even him, he knew that he didn't have but 30 some odd years on this earth to do what God sent him to do. He was a young man when they crucified him. He knew it was coming. They didn't know, but he did. He said, "I must work while it's day, for the night cometh when no man can work." Have you ever been out there on your place doing something and you really got something going and you want to get it finished and the sun is going down and you know that once it gets dark, you got to stop till the next day? And back when I was younger and felt good, I'd stay out there and I'd tell Belinda, she'd say, "Come in, it's supper time." I'd say, "I got to get this finished before the sun goes down." But the sun's going down. It's going down. And it's going down. "Well, preacher, I'm not going to know about them folks being in hell when I get to heaven." I agree with you. I believe that we won't have any concept of that, because then it wouldn't be heaven if we were worried about those kid folks who went to hell. But right now, I've got a concern.
Yes, sir.
I've got a concern for
them. That's right.
I do. And I want to see your kids saved. I want to see your grandkids saved. I thought one time, Brother Wayne, really, we'll say in revival, well, we didn't see everything we wanted to see, but we had a good revival. And I thought, what all would we have to see for us to be satisfied? What would we have to see? You know what we'd have to see? Is every human being on this earth coming to Jesus and finding the fruit of
our lives.
Every human being. And then we'd have to worry about those that are fixed to be born, about them.
Blessed the Lord.
That's when we see everything we won't see. And when time is no more, boy, it's getting sweeter and sweeter, Maggie. It is. It is. And when time shall be no more,
happy Lord. God bless you. Bless
you. Boy, a fella could run with this and preach on heaven for about an hour. Let me read these other verses I was going to read. I'm going to quieten down. In Moses' prayer in the book of Psalms, he said, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Even back then in Moses' day, time was of the essence. It was. The Bible said that Jesus spake a parable. And he spoke of a certain man that went off on a long journey
And he called his servants, and the Bible said that he gave to one of them 5 talents. To one he gave 3 or 2, and to one he gave 1. I love the part in this that God could have left out of the Word of God, but if he would have had, I wouldn't have got the full joy out of reading. Each man according to his several ability.
Think about it.
God is not going to tell you to go do something that you can't do.
Right.
And we know the story. The Bible said the one he gave 5, he went and invested it. And he made 5 more. He doubled his profit. Or he doubled the principal. The Bible said that the one that had 2 or 3, he took it and he doubled that. Reckon while God gave 1 5 and 1 2. Each man, according to his several ability. The one he gave 2 couldn't handle 5.
Come on, preacher.
The one he gave 1 couldn't handle 1.
Come on.
The Bible said to the third one, he gave 1 talent. The Bible said that he took that talent and he buried it in the earth.
Come on. Come on.
And after a long period of time, the man came back to get account of what his servants had done with what he had given. The two of them, did he say, well done? I've been faithful in a few things, something like that. But the nerve of the third one, he said, I knew thou was a hard man, talking to God.
That's us.
I knew thou was a hard man. I knew you hadn't reaped where you sowed. Or you hadn't sowed where you reaped.
That's it.
In other words, this is my garden. I planted it. What comes up is mine. And that one was cast into outer darkness where there was gnashing of teeth.
God bless you.
You see, he had all the time that the other ones had to take what God had given him and do something with it, but he buried it in the earth. It would be like these wonderful singers, what you made mention of a while ago, Brother Mark, the wonderful singers in our church, and I'm not going to call them a name, but we've got so many of them, but it would be like them saying, no, I'm not going to sing. I'm going to take this talent God gave me and I'm going to sit on it.
Yeah. I'm going to go down at the club and sing it.
Amen. Yeah.
There in the world.
Or it would be like Brother Michael. Those of you that sat under his teaching know how blessed we are.
Yes.
You know.
Amen.
It would be like Brother Michael saying, I'm not going to study all night long trying to get up here and teach. He's got that choice. And I'm sure there's a lot of Saturday nights that hardly he'd rather be doing something else than burying his face in the book and studying. Brother Michael McGee, he feels like his calling is to stay out there in the lobby, in the parking lot until everybody's in and it's time to start church. He says, I just feel like it's my duty to just make sure everybody gets in all right.
God bless.
Amen. What if he didn't do that? He could say, I don't care whether they get in all right or not. Me and Allison's going to sit over here. You see, everybody's got a talent today.
Amen.
Everybody does.
That's right.
Everybody does. And God wants to purge you, and he wants that talent to come out. Right. He wants it to come out. an orange sitting on the table is just an orange with the skin wrapped around it. But you cut that thing open and begin to squeeze it, and all kind of good stuff comes out of there. So today, if we'll realize that, and you can't go back in time and say, well, I should have done this and that, that. Put that behind you.
Yes. Amen.
Put that behind you. Amen. Well, the devil bothered me about that, what I could have done then if I'd announced my call earlier, if I'd have done this and done that. Devil, you just take that with you. It's what I do from here on out.
Amen.
It's what I do for God bless the Lord. Let me read this, I promise. Paul said, this is when he's fixing to die. He said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Preacher, was Paul bragging about what he had done? No. No. He was thrilled. He had told us earlier that it was better for him to die, that die was gain for him. But it was better for us, for him to be on here with us for a little while. So he did it for us more than he did for him. But now he was fixing to make his departure, something he had looked forward to doing ever since he'd come to know Jesus on the Damascus Road. I fought a good fight. Finish my course. I kept the faith. Boy, wouldn't you love to be able on if you know, a lot of us, some of us may die in a car accident, something where we don't have a lot of time to say anything. But wouldn't you like to be able to be on your dying bed and have enough breath about you to say, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Boy, Preacher Kelly, he, right there at the end, he didn't have the strength to talk much. And Paul came in there and said, Daddy, how you feeling? And he said, I'm a winner. I'm a winner. And if you'd have had the breath and wouldn't be fixing to die, he would have started preaching right there.
Yeah.
Talking about being a winner in the army of God. Please realize that time's running out. It's running out for you. It's running out for me. Linda reminds me every now and then something that she's always wanted to do, something that ever since we've been married, we hadn't done it. And she'll remind me, she'll say, we're not getting any younger. You ever heard that? We're not getting any younger. Oh, I thought we were. And I begin to think, and what she's telling me is, we're not getting any younger. If we're going to make this trip or do this, we better go ahead and do it.
Yes.
But I want the urgency to go after those that need God, amen, with that kind of urgency, amen. They're not getting any younger.
No.
No, they're not. No, they're not. And if we can just reach one more, amen. Boy, that puts you on shouting.
That's right.
You really would. Come give us a song. This is one end of a preach the way after lunch.
God bless.
I don't want to do that. Oh.
God bless.
But boy, I love y'all today. I really do. And I love what I can feel down in my heart.
483. Let's all stand together. 483.